The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
So I wasn't on First Take today because my remote studio thing was on the fritz. You ever hear of Occam's razor? That means the simplest explanation that describes the most phenomena. That's the explanation. Like, it's not 16 different things that go wrong. It's one thing that creates problems in a bunch of different areas. So if you're trying to figure out the solution to something, and someone gives you three and four different explanations, wait, it's probably one thing that's causing this, right? But it was the opposite today. Everything went wrong. The camera, the audio, everything went wrong all at once. Took them forever to diagnose it. Wasn't on First Take. And taped some stuff for the boxing show, 11 p.m. tonight. That was sort of makeshift. And here I am doing radio. And the whole fourth wall is blown. Apparently you can see something off the monitor. What a day. Still beats working for a living. Anyway, the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me just say that I did the straight talk thing already. All right, good. That the Raptors season was over. The season was over. The Celtics have outplayed them in each game. Each and every game, the Celtics are the better team. Season was over. It was interesting because you put Taco Fall, the Celtics do, to guard the inbounds. And you'd think, well, it's impossible. How are you going to get the ball over him? And I think Charles Barkley actually was on TV talking about, you know, he forces you to lob it so high, he actually makes you, in this case, make a real good inbounds pass to Ananobi on the other side of the floor, other side of the court. But, and I'm trying to give credit where it's due, I saw on Twitter, I think it was, I think it was Kirk Goldsberry, ESPN's own Kirk Goldsberry, was pointed out that usually the floor seats are where you'd be inbounding, like are right behind the guy making the inbounds pass, right? So there's less space. He's not able to create as much distance. At least that's the way it looked from the picture taken, you know, behind the line as he was in this case because there's no one sitting on the floor in the bubble. So that little extra bit of room gave room to get the ball over Taco Fall's head, who's 7 foot a million, all the way across the court to OG Ananobi, who, by the way, even last year, when you looked at the Rockets, he was the guy, let's not forget, a couple of years ago, like, he's the new Draymond Green. He's like a baby Draymond, could do a kind of jack-of-all-trades, can do things well, and is only going to do all these things better as his career goes on. He's a real kind of piece that you'd want in the modern NBA. But he got hurt. What was it? It wasn't even a basketball-related injury, and he missed time last year, right as the Raptors were making all the hay in the postseason. But Ananobi catches this pass, and much has been made about Jaylen Brown not having the presence of mind to cover the three-point shooter, guard the three-point shooter. Ananobi got rid of that ball fast and sunk it to win the game. Celtics have been hard to beat in these playoffs. That's the way you beat the Celtics, on a miracle play? Because you're in the bubble, you have a little extra room to get an inbounds over Taco Fall, and Jaylen Brown, who'd had an excellent defensive game to that point, you know, has a brain freeze in that moment, and you have a guy who had a who got a quick release off, and the shot was good, and that's the only way to beat the Celtics so far. If I'm a Celtics fan, of course you're feeling bad because you don't want to give the champs any life. But you got to be feel good about the brand of basketball that you're playing so far. And by the way, Kemba Walker was excellent. He was excellent, and Kyle Lowry has to be given credit too because with no Kawhi. And with Kawhi's second banana, Pascal Siakam was fantastic in the playoffs last year. But as the main guy, it's a little different when they start really paying attention to you. And Siakam's very good, but he's not Kawhi great. Kyle Lowry needed to step up. And he did at times last year. Because remember his reputation before that in the playoffs. Not very good. But he did last year when they needed him to, in really high leverage moments. And last night, he was matching Kemba Walker shot for shot. And without Kyle Lowry doing that, that team and Anunoby, they are no position to win the game with that shot. So if you're the Celtics, you have to be feeling good about the kind of basketball you've been playing. If you're the Raptors, listen, this series is about to be over. Season over. And on a miracle play, you survive, and maybe you have some life breathed into you right now. Here's Jaylen Brown after the game.
At the end of the day, you know, we just got to be better as a unit. You know, regardless of what we was in, you know, we had to guard the three-point line. So that was just a f***ing disgrace at the end of the game. That was just terrible. You know, no way we should have lost that game.
Well, good for him for taking responsibility. As I said, that was... Jaylen Brown was really good yesterday until it mattered most, and he had a bad moment, like a bad split second. And I understand that's the difference between winning and losing. And that's a choking kind of defensive play. But I think a guy who's otherwise elevated on that side of the floor, you can give him a pass for one bad moment. He seems to be a pretty heads-up kind of guy under normal circumstances. That can happen to anybody. Anunoby after the game.
Yeah, I was excited. Everyone was excited for me, so it was cool. Someone hit me in the nose. So I was kind of mad about that, but it's cool. Everyone's excited.
By the way, I read a stat today, and I can't remember. You read so much stuff. I read a stat today, maybe it was from ESPN Research, about Anunoby and how he shoots under pressure, like when he doesn't have a lot of time to shoot. He becomes not only a much better shooter than he normally is, but he becomes a much better shooter than everyone else in the league under those same circumstances. That's pretty good. You got to give it to that guy. That's a big-time money-on-the-line shot. Meantime, we got Scoop Jackson coming up, and we have Dodgers manager Dave Roberts coming up in a little bit. I know that, look, I took the Clippers to win the whole thing preseason. And I haven't gotten off of that, although I thought the Dallas Mavericks, they were my sleeper pick. And I thought they had a real shot against the Clippers, you know, provided Porzingis could play. And then they ejected him from one game and Dallas lost. And then he couldn't play late in the series and they got beaten up a little. And I still like the Clippers to win the whole thing. I don't see the Nuggets series as being the kind of steamroll job that right now people perceive it by the Clippers. Like, oh, the Clippers aren't going to have any problems with the Nuggets. I don't see that because this was a schedule loss. The Nuggets looked gassed against the Jazz in Game 7. They had hardly any rest, and you got to come back and face the Clippers? If they're not the best team in basketball, why, when you talk to most basketball people, say, who's going to win the whole thing? The Clippers. Why is that? So I wouldn't read too much into last night's steamroll win by the Clippers. I think the Clippers are the best team. I picked them to win the whole way since they got Kawhi and Paul George. But you can give the Nuggets a pass for coming off a grueling 7-game series that they barely squeaked by in, and being gassed against the best team in basketball. There's no travel. There's no home court nowadays, but there's still the schedule. And because the Clippers took care of business, they're rested and Denver wasn't. And that's a schedule loss. I still like the Clippers. I like them in 6 games to begin, maybe because of the way it broke down. Now I like them in 5 games, but I think they have their work cut out for them. Actually, I think that Denver's a little liver than people realize. And now, by the way, I also have no internet on my laptop right now. This is a mess. I'm doing everything. I'm relying on Raj for everything over Zoom, and I got to flip back up and forth on my phone to look at a rundown.
Expired.
I got to rely on Raj Grobes. Boy, this is going to be tough.
Expired.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Scoop Jackson ESPN senior writer, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Scoop!
Max!
How are
hey,
you?
Matt, I'm fantastic, man. Rod said that's just an everyday thing, just you relying on him to do everything. So he's like, what's new?
Well, that would explain some things, wouldn't it? Hey, Scoop, what... First of all, and I want to get to another topic with you too, but the whole thing with Richard Jefferson and Scottie Pippen and the whole thing. But I want to and not only at first Giannis, but now then LeBron getting in on the action with Jay Williams. But I want to start with the game last night. Okay. If you're the Celtics right now, on the one hand, don't breathe life into the champs. On the other hand, you just outplayed them three times in a row. They're lucky to have one win. What are you feeling right now if you're Boston?
I'm not listening to any of us if I'm them, and I'm realizing what happened on the court, that it was a good game. We allowed them to get back in, and just, you know, this is a mistake that we're not going to make again. It doesn't change anything, and they know the series is long, seven-game series. I don't think Boston went in it thinking they were going to sweep Toronto, you know, so it's just a loss, and we'll just keep it moving. You know, it's a loss they feel that they should have had, but that comes along with the territory. So, from their standpoint, I don't think they're weighing too heavy on it.
If you ask me in a vacuum, who's better, Kemba Walker or Kyle Lowry, and I like Kyle Lowry, my answer is Kemba Walker. I think he's a little more talented. But last night, Kemba was doing his thing. And if Kyle Lowry's not matching him the whole way, Toronto's not in a position to win that game. Kyle Lowry was a dude who was questionable in the playoffs for years. And then last year, really it was Siakam that was Kawhi's main dude. But Kyle Lowry made important contributions at times, seemed to turn a corner. And I really felt like last night was really a Kyle Lowry saving kind, like Ananobi hit the shot, but they're not in that position if Kyle Lowry doesn't play like that.
Yeah, that was his grand heel pass to Christian Laettner. You know what I'm saying? That was just a perfect pass done at the perfect time, and actually for a game winner, just like Christian Laettner in grand heel situation. But I think last year Kyle Lowry was put in a position he had never been in his career when Kawhi got there, whereas he actually wasn't the focal point and the face. Even though DeMar DeRozan was there with him, he was still the large focal point of that Toronto Raptors organization. And when Kawhi got there, it took a lot of pressure off him for being a focal point. He was able to just play basketball in a much freer and much more meaningful way than he had before. And I think that's carried over to right now. The difference is, and I think what you saw last night is just a matter of if he can hold it up or not, is how well Siakam can hold up doing his imitation of Kawhi Leonard that he was able to do during the regular season. But now it's different. You know, so he can't continue to do this Kawhi Leonard impersonation that he took a leap from 17 points a game to 23, and he did something that a lot of us didn't think he had the capability of doing. If he's not doing it in the playoffs, then what Kyle Lowry did last night, he's going to have to continue to do throughout this series, and I don't know if he's capable of doing that. But he can't. I don't know if he could do it every night.
I love Siakam. Yeah. I think he became a little overrated in this regular season. I didn't think he was much better. I thought he was basically the same player he was last year, but his usage rate went up, which is impressive. If you can keep your rates the same when now you're used a lot more and the defense is more focused on you also, that's good. That means you did get better. But it's not like he was an MVP-level player this year. He's just very, very good still.
One point, what was surprising though is they kept winning. That's the thing. It wasn't issues.
Sure.
It was the fact that they were winning. And that's why we overrated. I mean, we gave him more credit because, damn, he may be the reason they're winning, and our expectations were they're going to fall apart.
Well, look, they're too deep at every position. Even when you talk about Ananobi, when you think of Siakam, not that Ananobi's the same kind of player exactly, obviously, but those were the two young forwards on the way up. And it's not like Siakam was going to be so much better than Ananobi a couple of years ago. It was that he stayed healthy and Ananobi didn't. And Ananobi was supposed to be the young Draymond Green of the Raptors, but he was hurt, or he was medically out for the playoffs last year. And now this year, here he is, and he's a valuable member. They're too deep at every position. It's not just Lowry, it's Van Vliet. It's not just Siakam, it's Ananobi.
Everything.
Like, everywhere you look, they got two guys. And by the way, that's common in Ujiri teams. It was the same thing when Masai was the GM in Denver. Same thing. Too deep at every position. They'd run you out of the gym in that mile high air. Let me ask you this. I want to get over to Kawhi because you brought him up. That dude, if I think he's the best player in basketball. People argue with me. But
he is
making it look easy. He's getting his points whenever he wants. Brother, that mid-range is impossible. No one can. I mean, mid-range is supposed to be a bad shot, but it's automatic for him.
Surgical. He's right in between Kevin Durant and Tim Duncan and how he executes. It's straight up surgery when he's out there. He just takes you apart. You'll appreciate this. He's basically a young Floyd Mayweather in the ring, where he's very reserved in everything he does, tactical to almost an acute degree defensively, and never throws any punches that are wasted. And at the end of the fight,
economical.
You're like, damn, he's a younger version of Floyd Mayweather in a basketball.
It's an interesting comparison, and a great defender.
I appreciate that. Right.
And a great defense. His offense is like Floyd's, and his defense is also like Floyd's. It's a good point.
Exactly.
Although their personalities are very different. Personalities very different selling themselves off the field of play.
But Kawhi, totally. I'm just talking about what they do in those lines. In the ring,
he's just making
between those lines. That's it.
Scoop, he's making it look so easy. It's like, it's not. It's the way he gets his shot whenever he wants, and it's a cupcake every time. It's nothing. It's a little chip shot for him every single time. And then on the other end of the floor, he's really the best. Look, I know every year it changes, and I thought Ben Simmons was excellent defensively this year, but year in and year out, like in this era, when you point to it and say, who is the best defensive wing, it's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, no question. And keep in mind what I was saying earlier. Two things is that, you know, it was easy for Tim Duncan because of the way he made it. It's easy for Kevin Durant the way he makes it. So it's not just the Floyd Mayweather. It's those two. It's not just what they do and how they do it. It's how easy they make it because of where their mind goes and how they execute on the court. But also, with Kawhi, like you were saying about just, you know, everybody doing the whole, like, defensive player of the year and, you know, every year. That look, man, you look at his overall body and what he's done defensively throughout his career. It doesn't make a difference that he'll probably only have maybe one or two Defensive Player of the Year awards. He may not get a lot of them. But when we talk about the greatest defensive players ever, you know, he's going to be probably in the top five conversation at the end of it, up there with the Bill Russells and the Scottie Pippins. He's going to be in that conversation. And so he doesn't need the awards. We know watching year in and year out, the awards don't dictate how great he is defensively.
Well, it's the
amount and the way he does it year after year that people can't do.
For sure. Now, listen, wait. I want to get off this topic because I want to talk to you about something. Richard Jefferson tweeted out, Antetokounmpo maybe is really Pippen. He needs his Jordan. Pippen kind of fired back at Richard Jefferson. Jay Williams said something about LeBron. LeBron goes at Jay Williams. First of all, I think LeBron's being really sensitive there. Really sensitive there. Like, Jay Will didn't say anything out of pocket. He was just saying, he was just analyzing basketball. Didn't require a response from LeBron. Of course, that's his prerogative. He can respond to whomever he likes, but it makes him look thin-skinned, I think. But I want to get to the why of it all. When Richard Jefferson said about Antetokounmpo, he's Scottie Pippen, he needs his Jordan, I totally disagree. I think Antetokounmpo is Shaq. He needs his Kobe. In other words, Antetokounmpo is really a big, and I don't care how great a big you are, you're not going to be like a dynastic kind of champion if you don't have a guy who's not a big and is just as good as you. Kareem didn't get anything until Oscar Robertson joined him.
Exactly.
And they won a championship. Kareem then joined Magic and won five. All six of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the greatest big man in the history of the modern era, all six of his championships came with a guy who was as good as him but didn't play center. Same thing with Shaq. First he had Kobe in his prime, then he had Dwayne Wade in his prime. Upper echelon Hall of Famers who are...
Don't forget Penny.
Yeah, no, I am forgetting Penny because Penny wasn't even good enough, and Penny was great. What I'm saying is Shaq had Penny, they got swept, and then the Bulls swept them before they could even get back. I'm saying as great as Penny was, he never really got to reach his prime, right? But maybe he would have gotten there. But that's not even enough. That's what I'm saying, Scoop.
Right,
you need Kobe. If you're Antetokounmpo, you need Kobe. If you're Kareem, you need Magic. If you're Shaq, you need Kobe. Or Dwayne Wade. If you're Kareem, you need Oscar Robertson. It's not the fact that he's Pippen and he needs Jordan. He's Shaq. He needs Kobe. And as far as LeBron is concerned, I know why he might take it like, if you say Pippen, you really mean Robin. You really mean second best. But here's the thing about Pippen, who was, when Jordan retired, the second best player in the league to Hakeem.
Yep.
What's LeBron and them think? That if they were playing with Jordan, they wouldn't be as Pippen? Jordan's better than all of them. No matter who Jordan's playing with, they're the Pippen. Right. What are they upset about? I don't get it, right. Scoop.
Well, here's the thing. I think it's petty all the way around. You know, I think that, no disrespect to Richard Jefferson, but using Scottie Pippen and the way he used it in referencing what Giannis has become is a little bit shady. You know exactly what you meant when you said that. You know, and so, you know, and for Pippen to respond is petty. You know, and for Jay Will to make a point and just, you know, use LeBron as an analogy is kind of unnecessary. You can make the point without bringing LeBron. It's like, keep your name out of my mouth, because why are you bringing my name into this when that has nothing to do? Just make your point about the two people that you're talking about.
No, I disagree with that part, Scoop. I agree with the Pippen thing. Like, if you're using Pippen and then saying, there I said it, what you're saying is he's not the main dude, even though Pippen was capable
right,
of being
exactly.
the best player on a championship team.
I get that.
But still,
that's
listen.
But the response is a petty. The initial comments throw shade, and the responses are petty.
Jay Wills wasn't petty. How was Jay Will petty? How was Jay Will's response petty?
Listen. Jay Will's full response was not petty. It was very thought out, but
right.
You can't do that on Twitter. What I'm saying is that his initial thing on Twitter was unnecessary. You could have made your point without bringing LeBron into it. And once we get to social media, because it's so condensed, people take it the wrong way.
Scoop, everything on Twitter is unnecessary. That's the whole point of Twitter. It's not like you can't live without Twitter.
Right.
You go to Twitter
for what's
unnecessary. What do you mean?
So my thing is that once you know it's unnecessary, expect a clapback. You know what I'm saying? People are going to clap back, especially when you mention a name unnecessarily. You know, and I hate to say it, Max, but you've been in this game long enough to know that even ex-players, after a certain amount of time, especially when you're working with those four letters, they stop looking at you as an ex-player. You become the enemy.
Yes,
and a lot of times you're the enemy. So if Jay Will had not been on a show on ESPN with his name attached to it, and he had just said that on Twitter to me and you, or whoever you want to say, as a non-member of the media, as an ex-ball player, it would have been fine. But there's certain
things you can't say
without those letters attached to it, and now you're not looked at the same. And Jay Will knows that.
You're probably right. This is what I would say. Richard Jefferson maybe could expect something from Scottie Pippen. That was fine. I don't think LeBron. I think LeBron was being sensitive to respond to Jay Will. Jay Will didn't say anything that should get anyone under anyone's skin.
I hear you. But like I said, I think it's shady off the top, and I think it's petty at the back end on both of them.
Can we just agree that I'm right and you're wrong? Can we end that way?
No. I think we're talking about four different individuals. I think we can disagree on one of them. I think we're. Agree on the three of the ones, right?
All right.
We just disagree on Jay Will. That's it.
All right. Listen, you'll come back next week to disagree with me some more. How's that?
Yeah, well, you know, as long as you check don't bounce, we're good.
Now, thanks, Scoop. Raj seems to think that your picture on TV looks like New Edition in 1985, but I can't see. I don't have return right now. So I'd like to have gotten that one off, but that's what Raj said. Yeah.
Tell Rod it's Teddy Riley. Get it right.
This is how old I am. I remember, like, people don't even know why New Edition was called. New Edition was called New Edition. I remember I was in the fifth grade when they came out because they were supposed to be the new version of, like, the Jackson 5. People don't even know that. Like, I'm old. Yeah. All right. Look, Scoop, I'll talk to you next week. Thank you as always, my brother. Appreciate it.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPNU, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, you can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And I'm actually going to get to some calls, because for those who think that the Clippers-Nuggets series is over, look, I've liked the Clippers to win the whole thing since the preseason. I haven't gotten off that. My sleeper pick was Dallas. I thought they had chances against the Clippers if Porzingis could have played the whole series. They didn't. I still would have picked the Clippers, but the Mavs were a really tough challenge. I think they would have been so for anyone. Clippers have gotten past the Mavs, and they just steamrolled the Nuggets. It's a schedule loss. Denver was coming off of a grueling seven-game series with very little rest against Utah. And yes, that's because the Clippers took care of business and Denver didn't. Not fast enough. On the other hand, the Clippers didn't have to face a fully loaded Mavericks team, and Denver had their hands full with a highly motivated and loaded, including with Mike Conley at the end, Utah team. So do I think now, especially since they won the first game already, the Clippers are going to win the series? Yes. But my prediction is before this series is over, there will be questions asked. Hey, does Denver have chances? In other words, they're not going to get swept. I think they'll probably win one of the next two games. It'll be like a 2-1 series, whether it's a 5-game series or a 6-game series. I like the Clippers. I don't think it'll go 7, but I can't say this series is over. It's not like Denver is a hapless team. And Jokic got to play better defense for sure, but he and Jamal Murray are, if they're not just 4-star all-star players. If they're not 5-star MVP players, they're somewhere between. Those are all-star plus players. And there's two of those guys on that team, and Michael Porter Jr., who's making strides and kind of already showing people that those who passed on him, like the Clippers, because of injury concerns, they had a right to be concerned. But at this moment, he's making Denver drafting him look good. All right, so Richard Jefferson tweets yesterday, Giannis might be a Pippen. There, I said it. He needs his Jordan. Or 2 days ago, 9:24 p.m., September 2nd. And Pippen responded to him, saying, like, look, I don't have two MVPs and Giannis does. Meantime, you know, who are you, sort of thing. Richard Jefferson took that in stride. Look, could Pippen feel a certain kind of way about that? I guess he's saying he's not, that Giannis is not the best player on a championship team. He's the second best player on a championship team. And Pippen's sitting there going, yo, you act like I couldn't be the best player. Pippen could have been the best player on a championship team. The Knicks got a lucky call against the Bulls that year, and I'm a Knicks fan. I'll tell you when the Bulls got lucky calls against them, like when Charles Smith went up and you saw the next day the pictures, Pippen's hand on one side of his arm, Horace Grant's on the other, and they didn't call the foul, right? Like, I'll tell you when the Knicks got BS calls called against them, but also for them. The Bulls got jobbed that series. Like, Pippen could have easily gone on, maybe won a championship that year. Pippen was great. Other than Olajuwon, he was one of the two best players in the league. Period. I mean, overall, postseason and everything. In Jordan's absence, Olajuwon was 1, Pippen was 2, second best player in the league. And like, is Giannis the second best player in the league all around when you count the postseason? I don't think so. There's Kawhi, there's LeBron, there's a healthy KD. So it's not an insult to be called Pippen, but I see why Pippen reacted that way. But what I want to get into is this. Jay Will then says, so LeBron, he said, so LeBron was a Pippen with D-Wade once. Nothing wrong with that until you get over the hump. Meaning, you may not be ready to have your own team right away or to be the number one on a team. That's all right. LeBron took offense. Explain to me what the expletive I got to do with this subject matter. I'm over here minding my damn business preparing for Houston. And by the way, I ain't never been nobody but my damn self. Expletive. LeBron's more sophisticated than that. LeBron, do you think he literally means that you are Scottie Pippen? Come on, man. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, what you got?
Well, let me get right off to it. You tease this. I want to know. It's a wrap for Adrian Peterson's career.
No doubt.
No doubt.
If he like, can he still play in the NFL? Yeah, I'm sure he can still play in the NFL, but how many, you know, carries is he going to have a game? He ain't going to be on your fantasy team ever, you know, like stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say no doubt.
Okay. Cam is a good choice for Patriots team captain.
No doubt.
No doubt.
See what, by the way, Cam went there and didn't act like a big entitled star, showed why he's a big star at every level. He showed why. He got there, and according to Bill Belichick, not only outworked everybody, but had a level of competitiveness that only the greatest athletes of all time have. And when you hear Bill Belichick talking about someone like that, like, you know who Belichick talks about like that, where you just can't say anything about him? Lawrence Taylor. You ever hear him talk about LT?
Yeah.
Try to have anyone compare someone to LT in front of Belichick. He's not having it because he was his D coordinator. And LT was the greatest football player of all time at his best. I mean, I know Tom Brady played a more important position and did it for longer and everything, but eyeball test, there was no one like LT ever. Right. And Belichick's not. And what he's saying when he starts talking about Cam and just his level of competitiveness and drive, it starts to sound that way to me. I think he made the right choice, and he's empowering his quarterback.
All right. Let's turn into music world. Beyonce, you know, she turns 39 today. Mm. Hey. All right, 39 for Beyonce today.
No doubt. Wait, what's the question?
Wait a minute, everybody.
I thought
she's the most powerful woman in music.
No doubt. I mean, am I missing someone? I don't know. I don't follow music like sports. You know what I mean? Right. Even when I was in the industry, I didn't follow it like sports. I listened to the stuff I like. I don't know all the behind the scenes, everything. I don't know. But I guess, who are the candidates even? Beyonce? Yeah. I think the real question with
Rihanna's powerful.
Yeah, she is. And Rihanna's great. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, like, I think the real question is comparing different eras. Like, is Beyonce, look, media is different now. So Beyonce is bigger than, let's say, Madonna in Madonna's prime. But Madonna, at the height of her powers in American popular culture, may have been even bigger. Like, that's the kind of comparison you have to make with Beyonce. Otherwise, no one's on her level.
Okay. All right. Last one. Now, listen, Mike Trout. Now, he admits to a frustrating season. He says, I've got 10 years left on his contract, so we've got to move forward. Hey, let me ask you this. Mike Trout needs to move on from the Angels.
I wish he would have already. I think one of the reasons that baseball isn't in better shape is because Mike Trout, a Jersey guy, by the way, and I know he roots for the Philly teams, but the Yankees planned on drafting him. And the Angels drafted, what was his name, Borges, the outfielder, right-handed hitting outfielder, and because they had the compensation pick because the Yankees had signed Mark Teixeira. And the Yankees figured, oh, they just took a right-handed hitting outfielder. They're not going to take another one. We got Mike Trout. It was like late in the first round. And they took Mike Trout before the Yankees got to him, like a few picks before the Yankees. Could you imagine if Mike Trout was playing center field for the Yankees and took over the team from Derek Jeter the way Mickey Mantle took over the team from DiMaggio? But unlike DiMaggio, who's kind of a jerk to Mantle, Jeter really handed him the keys, and the Yankees won World Series with the greatest player maybe ever in pinstripes playing center field like DiMaggio and Mantle once did. Baseball would be healthier right now. It'd be in a better place. But it's not, because this guy usually doesn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, good point. All right, man.
All right, that's it?
That's all I got. I usually take longer, so I didn't write anymore.
Right, good. I'm glad, because I want to talk about this Twitter beef with Richard Jefferson, Scottie Pippen, Jay Williams, and LeBron James. Jay Will saying, what's wrong with being Scottie Pippen? All he's doing really is defending Scottie Pippen. I'll start from the beginning again. Hopefully I don't have to do this again next segment. How much time do we have, Raj? I'm going to have to do this again next segment. Let me just say, Richard Jefferson says the Greek Freak may not be Jordan, really. He may be Pippen needing a Jordan, right? I'm paraphrasing now. Scottie Pippen said, what's wrong with being me, basically, right? I was great. Jay Will says, what's wrong with being Pippen? Being Pippen is great. LeBron had to be Pippen. If Pippen doesn't mean you're not good enough, Pippen means you happen to be the second best player on the championship team. If you think Pippen means you're not good enough, that's on you. Jay Will is like, LeBron deferred to D. Wade when he first got to Miami, and then he took over. You're learning how to take over the team. And then LeBron claps back at Jay Will. Jay Will didn't clap at him in the first place. LeBron's being sensitive. And LeBron, who's like going to be a media mogul, among other things, and already is, knows the difference. Like, so LeBron, let me get this straight. People can't make an analogy now using you. Like, you're really going to sit there and say, keep my name out your mouth. You can't use me to make analogies? That's so petty and ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And he knows the difference. Now, let me tell you what might be getting under his skin. None of these guys are as good as Jordan. If LeBron and Michael Jordan were on the same team, LeBron would be a souped-up Scottie Pippen. And by the way, Pippen doesn't really need souping up. He was a great player. But LeBron is so great, he's like a souped-up Pippen. He's still not the alpha on a team with Michael Jordan. And anyway, the Greek Freak is not Pippen who needs Jordan. He's Shaq who needs Kobe. He's Kareem who needs Magic and Oscar. He's a big who needs a guy as good as him who's not a big.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.